Sup, podcast world, podcast sphere, podcast universe. I was going to open with like a la Joe Rogan style, sup, freak bitches. But I'm like, I can't steal that. I'm like, he's taking it from everybody. I was like, nobody can take that. It's now Rogan's. Anyways, there's nothing to do with today's episode, as a lot of these introductions tend to not have anything to do with the episode until I actually get into it. For those of you that are new to the podcast, I'm your host, Brian Keane, here to help you build and rewire your fitness mindset. Today's episode, I've been so lucky with guests recently. Like, the last several episodes I've done, like from a completely selfish standpoint, I'm like, these have been awesome conversations. I can't wait to listen back. So I always know, well, I hope I know. Maybe I don't know. Like, tell me if I'm wrong. But anytime I listen to a podcast or record a podcast, and I'm like, I can't wait to listen to that back, I'm always know I'm on to a winner. And today is one of those episodes. Today's episode is with my compadre. Well, she's now a compadre. This is our first time chatting properly, but I'm putting her into the compadre circle because she's freaking awesome. Kaylee Hatfield. Kaylee is a certified personal trainer and professional dancer living in the LA region. And in today's episode, it is typical Brian Keane podcast in terms of talking all things mindset, talking all things diet, training, food, and everything in between. And I love when a podcast flows in this direction where it covers everything so organically and so naturally. And Kaylee's definitely somebody, if you all enjoy this, be sure to hit me up and we'll definitely do a round two. I love this conversation because she's able to talk on so many different topics and provide so much value that regardless of your starting point or your fitness level or your background with mindset, there's so much value in today's episode. So some of the topics we covered, we talked about Kaylee's experience with depression and how exercise was the thing that saved her. That was originally going to be the majority of this conversation, but we went in so many different directions between diet misconceptions, setting positive affirmations to build confidence, avoiding self-sabotage, not gorging on food. We went in so many different directions with this podcast because of just the way that it flowed. So I hope you enjoyed as much as I enjoyed recording it. We started with the experience with her depression and how that exercise saved her. And as somebody that has lived through bouts of that, more so environmental depression by like making shitty fucking life choices, all down to myself, I've taken extreme ownership of that, which I've talked about in the Rewire Your Mindset book. You know, my own control it, change it philosophy, and a lot of it came down to that. But she spoke about her experience and how fitness and exercise was actually the thing that knocked her out of it and was able to give her the endorphin rush that kind of got her out of bed. And as a result, that started to compound positively over time. We also talked about not giving from an empty cup, which is a huge theme in this episode. Kaylee is so big on, for her personal life and with her clients and the people that follow her online, to look after yourself first, how you have to carve out time out of your day to do an exercise program, to look after your food, to look after your mental health and all the things that come with it. Because if you can't be the best version of yourself, you're not going to be the best version for all those people around you. We talked about diet misconceptions, particularly the keto diet, and some of my grinding gears. I'm like, I'm totally showing my age when I'm like quoting fucking Family Guy from 2006. I'm like, Brian, how old are you now? Anyways, grinding my gears, because I talked about some of my grinding gears diet misconceptions. They change. But they're normally pretty... I went off on one on the keto diet just because it's the keto diet, which I'm a big fan of, but not for weight loss. Not the most restrictive diet of all time for weight loss. Anyways, advice for finding yourself when you feel lost. Setting positive affirmations to build confidence, as I mentioned. I'm always curious on this topic on how people go from a low point, such as Kaylee not being able to get out of bed when she had depression, to building confidence, to put out content online, to share her message online, and to be able to support people who are going through something similar. So some great tips there on particularly positive affirmations for building confidence, avoiding self-sabotage and gorging on food, and how to apply that reset mentality if you fall off track for any reason. And we also talked about some of Kaylee's personal protocols, which is very interesting for someone that is in amazing shape. She has a very unique protocol when it comes to the way she eats and the way she trains. She's one of the few people I know that does a 14-hour fast and then trains on nearly an empty stomach. She takes a little bit of coffee or a bit of green tea and then she trains after a 14-hour fast. So that is quite an interesting approach. And she has said her digestion and the way she feels is so much better and how she has changed her eating protocol over the last few years based on how her body has evolved, digesting certain foods, etc. So that's very, very interesting for anybody that is finding, particularly females, but guys too, that are finding that they have different dietary requirements as they get older. So wide-ranging conversation. I absolutely loved this one. So I hope you all enjoy it, as I said, as much as I enjoyed recording it. Today's episode and guest is the awesome Kaylee Hatfield on depression, not giving from an empty cup, and self-sabotage triggers. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I am delighted to be joined today with my guest, Kaylee Hatfield. Kaylee is a certified personal fitness trainer and professional dancer who combines nutrition, life hacks, and multiple styles of fitness such as weight training, high intensity interval training, cardio, and TRX with elements of dance including jazz techniques and hip hop grooves to deliver fast, long lasting results. Based in Los Angeles, California, Kaylee has worked with clients from all over the world and offers sustainable wellness programs for clients looking to improve all elements of their personal health and strengthen overall stamina. Kaylee has worked as a trainer for over 5 years and is widely known for her contagiously positive attitude, motivational support, and personalized care when it comes to clients' needs. Kaylee's 30-day programs are available online and include a wide range of plans, sure to leave clients sweaty and ready to take on their busy day while feeling their strongest and most confident selves. I'm looking forward to talking all things fitness, diet, and mental health in today's podcast. Kaylee, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Pleasure's all mine. Kaylee, can you tell everybody listening just a little bit about yourself, your backstory, and kind of what got you into the world of fitness?
Yeah, so I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri, middle of the U.S., for those that don't know. And yeah, I grew up dancing and I was super active in dance my whole entire life. So I'd never really worked out. And when I moved to Los Angeles for dance, I kind of gained that like freshman 15. I feel like we all gain like in our early 20s, even though I didn't go to school. And I kind of got to the point where I was losing my confidence and just was at, you know, dance auditions and in the industry, just like kind of losing myself. And so I looked at myself in the mirror one day. I was like, okay, we got to get it together, girl. So I kind of, from then, it was just like that one decision to make a change. I was so nervous to get into the gym. I was so nervous to lift weights. I was just very self-conscious about it all. But just that split decision to walk into the gym and just get, I started, you know, in my comfort zone. I got on the treadmill and walked on the treadmill for forever. And once I got comfortable with that, I started, you know, kind of Pinteresting workouts, and I kind of fell in love with it there. And once I, you know, got comfortable, I was like, if I can change my life from the inside out for me, I would love to do that for other people. So I got certified as a personal trainer and then have kind of combined my love of dance and fitness all together and just, you know, made exercise and like a healthy lifestyle fun.
I love that. I love the combination of your background, what you love, and then merging that with fitness. I think that is so, it comes across so much on your platforms. And but one of the topics I want to dive into, and we may jump around with what you do currently for training, your nutrition, etc., which I really want to talk to you about as well, as someone that holds incredible shape all year round. Any photos I was ever looking at, I'm like, you never seem to lose your shape. So I definitely want to dive into what you do. But a topic I wanted to cover first, and this was basically off when I was talking to your team originally. They sent me on some of the recent studies showing about exercise helping to ward off depression, even with those with, say, a genetic susceptibility. Though for many of it, it can be difficult to dive into a fitness routine, especially when they're battling bouts of depression. But I want to talk about folks with depression and how adding in some form of fitness to their lifestyle can potentially help combat that issue. And I wanted to talk to you about it because I know it's something that you speak widely on. And a lot of people listening to this podcast will have fallen into bouts of bad times because that's what happens in life. Can you talk a little bit about depression, about long-term active lifestyle and the combination and combining those two things?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And it's hard to, so I feel like when we think of exercise, generally, it's about muscle gain and fat loss, which those are obviously great benefits, but we kind of neglect the fact of it helps our mental strength and our mental health as well. And that's really, I feel like, what makes people come back and stay consistent when it comes to fitness And people who exercise regularly really tend to do so because it gives them such a sense of well-being. And, you know, they're more energetic throughout the day. They sleep better at night. They've got sharper memories and just overall more positive and less stressed. And regular exercise has really shown that you can have an impact on your depression, your anxiety, ADHD, and so much more. So I feel like the specifics that really come through with exercise are, you know, gaining that neural strength and expanding, you know, the changes in your brain. We've got the release of the endorphins, the serotonin. It really helps you process more information, makes your memory sharper, and, you know, overall just gives you those positive feelings. You know, we reduce inflammation. It helps, you know, exercise helps control your blood sugar and make sure that your insulin levels are staying balanced. And then it also really gives you that me time. I feel like there's so much happening in the world that's negative and stressful right now, you know, just day to day in your work. Oh my, everything with this coronavirus and politics going on, like it can be so crazy. But if you have that power hour or power 30 minutes in the day where you can put your phone away and try to, you know, distract yourself from all those things, you're focusing on yourself and getting healthy. So, you know, who doesn't want that? That automatically gives you that, you know, boost self-esteem and focusing on yourself.
Can you tell me, and this was one of the questions that as soon as I came across your content and was doing research to kind of delve more into the life of Kaylee, I'm really curious, because you speak so widely on this topic and very in-depth on this topic as well across platforms, etc., why or what has led to your passion around this particular area of fitness? And as opposed to, there's countless other realms to go down. Was there a personal experience or was there something that led you down this route of spreading the message on how fitness can help ward off depression, you know, even people with genetic susceptibility, as I mentioned earlier? Why is that particular topic something that's kind of close to your heart?
So, yes, I grew up very, as a professional dancer and growing up a dancer, it was so much pressure to be perfect and constantly be performing for others. You know, out here in LA, I would go to auditions and I would do all of the LA things where it's you're too big, you're too small, you're too this, you're too that, your butt's too big. You can never be a ballerina. And, you know, and that was my whole entire life. I was constantly comparing myself to all the other girls at the bar. And granted, I may not have ever gotten to the point where it was extreme, you know, overweight. But for me, I was not normal me. I wasn't taking care of myself because I never really had to. I was always doing it for somebody else. And I got to the point here in LA where I was like, I totally lost myself. I was looking in the mirror and like focusing on my body and what everybody else was thinking of me over what I was there to do and actually, you know, focusing on my passion. And I feel so passionately about it now because it was really hard to get out of bed. It was really hard to push myself. I had formed almost an abusive relationship with myself, if that makes sense. And it's just making that one decision to change. And it didn't happen overnight. You know, I had to work at it and work at getting up and forming and creating healthy habits. But once I did, it completely changed my life. And it really did just start with that one decision to get up and put me first. I didn't jump into the gym and start, you know, lifting and deadlifting and doing all this, you know, crazy HIIT cardio. But I just walked in and I was like, okay, I'm here. I did it. Let me continue to do it every day, because that one day made me feel good. You have that confidence boost, like, okay, I did it. I got to the gym, or okay, I'm starting to eat healthy. I'm starting to focus back on me. And it really did work from the inside out. And so that's why, you know, I have my clients now. It's not just exercise. It's not just, you know, eating right. It's the whole shebang. It's, you know, mind, body, and soul. You want to be healthy. It's a lifestyle.
I love that. I think it's such a powerful message. One of the things that jumps out there that I want to ask you mentioned about that you lost yourself temporarily, and I would be remiss if I didn't ask this, because I've been asked versions of this question across social media, across platforms, etc., on advice for people who feel lost, or advice for people who are looking to find themselves. As someone that's experienced that firsthand, what advice would you offer to people, or to yourself, even if you had to go back, to find themselves?
I would say to always take a beat, take a deep breath, and know that this is just temporary. It's not going to be your forever. I look back now and I thought that for the longest time, and I was like, how is this how life is supposed to be? I'm just supposed to, you know, kind of hate myself in a way for this long and forever. Like, I don't want to do that. And that is kind of what motivated me, but I had to just stay strong and trust the process. And we all still have our ups and downs. I have bad days, I have good days, but taking a deep breath, like closing my eyes and doing what I like to call like a square breath, where I breathe in for four, I hold it for four, I let go for four, and then I rest for four. So it makes that kind of square. That always kind of recenters me and clears my mind of what I saw on social media, what I saw, you know, walking down the street, or, you know, what I falsely thought about myself for a minute. And I'm like, okay, it clears it all away. It focuses back on me and just gets me, you know, in that healthy mindset where I can push forward. But you just really have to trust the process. I feel like that's the hardest thing for people to realize, because, you know, we go to the gym once and we want to already lose 20 pounds or, you know, 3% body fat. But we have to trust that, you know, 20 to 60 days is what creates that healthy lifestyle. Just know that you did what you had. You're doing what you have to do. You did what you had to do that day to take one more step forward. If you got to the gym, if you ate healthy, if you, you know, took time to meditate or took time to read or whatever it is that makes you feel good and back in your high vibe, then that's all you could do that day. You're not, it's not going to be overnight. It's, you know, a lifestyle, like I said.
Yeah, I don't think there's a single worthwhile thing I've ever done in my life that happened overnight. It's all a process. You mentioned a few things there, but I'm curious, what are your personal healthy habits? What are kind of anchors for your day that you try and stick to, you know, 100% of the time, or even 80% of the time, that kind of ground you in terms of whatever it is that makes you successful in what you're doing? You know, you mentioned a few there: reading, breathing, 4 seconds in, 4 seconds out, holding the square breath, training, etc. But what are some of the healthy habits that you've incorporated into your life?
So definitely all of those I practice. I know a lot of people preach about a morning and evening routine, and I'm not against that. If that's your thing, that's amazing. But for me, I have clients that, you know, 5 a.m. all the way until 8:30 p.m. So it's not necessarily a routine that keeps me going in morning and night, but I do always have the time of day that's for me. So like I said, a lot of my clients are, you know, working throughout the day. So I'm there super early and I'm there late, but I always make sure around noon that I get my workout in, I get my me time in. On my way to, you know, clients in the morning, I'm making sure that I listen to a podcast or a positive book. It kind of gets me in the mindset of, you know, just what I want to do that day. Sometimes it's more of like the self-help, think positive. Sometimes it's, you know, more of like the business side of stuff. I noticed in our earlier podcast you recorded, you said you kind of do the same thing, but it really helps me get focused on my commute to what I want to do and how I want to show up that day. I do also try to stay off my phone as much as I can, like an hour before bed. And, you know, right when I wake up, I try not to look at my phone. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's the only time that's going to be quiet and only for me throughout the day. The rest of the time, it's all, okay, what am I doing? How, you know, fast paced. So I try to really focus on getting back to me and, you know, just, like I said, breathing throughout the day, along with drinking water and eating greens and, you know, all the usual things, you know, we need to do. And stretching is such a big thing for me as well. I try to make sure I stretch with all of my clients throughout the day, because it gives me energy, but also makes me relaxed at the same time.
It's such a positive message. Like straight away as you're speaking, I always, one of the things that I mention at seminars or talks, anytime I'm giving a speech somewhere, is like, you can't give from an empty cup. You have to look after yourself first and foremost. And once you do that, it gives you energy to do all these other things. You also mentioned podcasts and books there. Is there any book that's most positively impacted your life over the last 12 or 18 months that jumps to mind? One that stands out, you know, either physical book or audio book, whichever way you consume them, that you really left an impact on you over the last year, year and a half?
Ooh, okay. I have a few, but if I had to nail it down, I love You Are a Badass. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yeah, Jin Sincero, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's such an easy, I listen to it. She does. I bought it actually and then tried to read it and never got around to it just because I'm bad at that. So listening to them is always better for me. I fall asleep no matter how good the book is. I fall asleep if I read it, so listening is always better. But she's so funny, and she makes the simplest things that, you know, we hear all the time, make time for you, drink water, you know, write down a positive vibe list, journal, all these things that we hear all the time but don't, it just kind of bounces in and out. She had a way to really let sink in with me and make it relatable to really any lifestyle. I also like Light is the New Black by Rebecca Campbell. She had she's very, you know, spiritual, and I'm not super into that. I like to say, I kind of delve in it in and out. But she had a really good way of kind of talking about confidence and just realizing that you are your own light and no one else can take that from you, but no one else can also give it to you. So it's kind of that same thing you were saying, like you have to keep your cup full and you have to believe in yourself in order to make change and make things happen in your life. Cause no one's, you know, we come into this world and we leave this world alone. So it's all based on us and just a healthy mindset. So those are two that really jump out at me.
You mentioned confidence there, and the reason I want to kind of particularly dive into that is from the outside, looking at you physically, the way you look, and for everyone that doesn't know the way that Kaylee looks, I'll link it up on my Instagram. You'll be able to see and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And the way you speak, even the content you put out, you strike me as someone that would be a very confident person. But clearly with your background, from anyone, myself included, having been through those environmental doubts of depression, I get it more than anybody. But what would be your tips or advice, similar staying on that trend, to building confidence? Because you clearly, as someone that's able to speak as well as you and go through a topic like this, where you're, you know, talking about yourself, talking about some of your own past experiences that have made you stronger. What was your process for building confidence? Was that all gym related? Was that a combination of, you know, the journaling that you mentioned? What did that process look like? And the reason I ask that is because there's lots of people who listen to this podcast who will regularly ask me, or when I'm talking to people such as yourself, how do you build confidence, or how do I go about doing that? What did your process look like?
Well, I appreciate all those kind words. Thank you. It's still a process, if I have to be totally honest. And I feel like it's always going to be a process for me. I did a number of things and still do a number of things. I'm constantly learning about myself and constantly learning about, you know, what kind of works for me. I tried journaling a lot, and it's hard for me to kind of stay consistent with it because it doesn't like take me to, you know, a negative place or a positive place, whatever it is, but it just kind of brings me down. I feel like I've made a few different lists and I constantly refer to them. So I've done the journaling before, and then I kind of go back and reference. And so I'm not journaling every single day or doing that. I kind of do it once in a while and then refer back to them when I need it. But it was a lot harder than I thought to make a list of things that I love about myself. And that kind of shocked me. I try to do, you know, not physical things because my world is so physical. I did things from the inside out. So that definitely helped. I tried to do 100 and it took me a while, but, you know, referring back to those, it makes me feel like, okay, it isn't all about the outside. It's about the things I do for others and how I show up in, you know, all of my relationships. Let's see what else I do. I did a lot of positive affirmations for a while and those really sunk in and I constantly refer to those now too. Example being, my success is inevitable. I said that one to myself all the time. What's another one? Visibility, abundance, and peace. Cause that's really what I want, you know, to bring to this world. So that constantly reminds me of what my why is to get up every day and not stressing about the how. But it is still, you know, constantly a battle. I try, you know, we all have good days and bad days. So just kind of really believing in myself and like I said, you know, trusting the process because it's hard. And I realized I just did. Have you ever done the Enneagram test like for your personality?
Yeah, I think is that the INGT or the is it that one? Oh, that's Myers-Briggs maybe. Am I right?
I think that's Myers-Briggs one. I just did it's the Enneagram. So there's like 9 types of personalities and I just discovered I'm a 3. So most of my confidence comes from like success in business and success and all of that. So that kind of took me back and makes me like this, my success in it is inevitable. Duh. That's why I say that. But, it kind of brought me back to focusing again on like what really matters and, you know, trusting myself and just trusting, I guess, the process of life. But yeah, look, really looking at myself and saying, I love you. I love what I see. And I know that sounds so cheesy, but it's true. Cause if I don't love myself from the inside out, then no one else is going to. And it's really helped me just be like, okay, you got this. You got this, bitch. I say it to myself all the time. If I'm struggling through a workout or I'm struggling through a day, I'm always just like, you got this. You got this. Like just breathe and believe in myself. And that's really almost like forced myself to be confident in a way, if that makes sense, like kind of fake it till you make it in a very honest way.
Yeah, that positive self-talk and the positive affirmations, that's something, it's funny that you mentioned a few of yours there because I would constantly do I have a calm mind. As someone that is very type A in terms of go, 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 like my mind would never shut off if I didn't tell it to shut off and I had to constantly repeat that I have a calm mind. But then positive affirmations and those positive affirmations are a very powerful way to kind of rewire and recondition your brain to focus on more positive things that are going to serve you in this moment. This is going to sound for anybody outside like the most random segue, but there's logic to this question on confidence. One of your favorite posts that I loved, that I think you put it up, it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago on Instagram. Healthy foods not to eat before date night. and I wanted to touch on diet, and I think because you mentioned a lot that nobody feels their sexiest or most confident when they're all bloated, I'm like, this is a perfect segue into nutrition. Can you tell us a little bit about, firstly, if you remember off the top of your head, I have them here in front of me anyway, healthy foods not to eat before date night, and then we can transition into some diet talk.
Yes, I definitely... I know I had broccoli because I've had experience with that.
It's number one. Yeah. Right at the top of the list.
Yeah. Broccoli. Did I say beans and then dairy? Cause I know there's like, you know, 7, well, there's a lot of stuff that makes you bloat, but beans. And then did I say beans?
You have, beans that are kind of in whole grains. You've got raw broccoli, dairy and wheat. And then you mentioned beans and grains as well. Which I love that. I'm like, I was reading that and I'm like, yeah, that's very true. That's both genders. I'm like, everybody gets bloated by the same food. It's just, it can be a little bit worse for girls because of tighter clothes, etc. What does your nutrition look like day to day?
So I constantly play around with my nutrition. Sometimes I, you know, focus more on my macros. Sometimes I go off of how I feel, but lately I have been, I definitely practice intermittent fasting. I've done that for a while now. I try to do 5 days a week, intermittent fasting, about 14 hours. And then 2 days a week, my Saturdays and Sundays, I'm kind of I don't really care. I can do whatever I want because I was strict on my other five days. So I always wake up and, you know, get all my clients in, come back home. I do my workout. And then after my workout to break my fast, I do a giant smoothie. I have like 2.5 cups of greens. I do like a third cup of frozen berries. And then I put my protein powder in there as well. And, do, you know, ice and water and blend it up. I am definitely dairy free. I've had some crazy experiences with dairy and soy on my body in the last few years. I wasn't always like that. So I've cut that out as much as I can. Let's see, going from there, I usually have, you know, some almonds throughout my day. And then for dinner, I usually do either chicken or fish, some kind of, you know, meat in there for protein. And then I do, you know, vegetables. I'm kind of switching it up between, you know, vegetables and like soup just to kind of make it different. But I do try lately again in this little phase I've been doing, I've been trying to stay away from, you know, any kind of complex carb, I guess, and any kind of, you know, grain. I don't really do rice anymore. I don't really do quinoa as of now. I have in the past, but I really like more of the plant-based side. And then I do throw in my meat for protein. It's made me feel, like I said, less bloated and, I guess more, my recovery seems faster. So I do have a lot of fats to make up for that. I do eat probably an avocado a day. That can get expensive, but, I love them. And, yeah, that's kind of it. A lot of high protein and fats. So,
when you train fasted, do you take anything intra-workout, pre-workout, coffee, caffeine, water, amino acids, or do you go straight into a session fasted?
So I do drink coffee in the morning, usually just a cup, you know, while I'm training my clients, and water, and that's it. Sometimes I'll do like a peppermint tea, or, I love a Jade citrus mint tea from Starbucks. But that's just, you know, got the normal like green tea caffeine in there.
You work a lot with obviously different individuals, different clients, and obviously a lot of training history and nutrition history yourself. Is there any diet misconceptions that you see either online or with regular clients that the only word I can think of is like grind your gears. Like there's certain diet misconceptions online that every time I hear it, like my brain just gets sore. Is there any diet misconceptions that you either hear from clients or see online that jump to mind when I say that?
That women don't need carbs, or that keto kind of drives me crazy. I feel like that's kind of basically it. I also just in general hate the, oh, I don't want to bulk from like a female. I'm like, oh my God, you need to be taking like some kind of testosterone or some kind of hormone supplement for you to bulk. I promise you that's not going to happen from doing bicep curls right now. I hate that. But as far as nutrition, I feel like it's mainly only keto. And I'm not a fan of it. I just don't think it's the best lifetime sustainable like diet solution. I've had clients that I'll do kind of it in phases and, you know, drop a little bit of weight and then kind of slowly integrate carbs back in. But other than that, nothing really that grinds my gears. I don't know. What about you? Is there one for you?
Oh, yeah. I won't go down this rabbit hole because it could go in several directions. Like keto is obviously just to kind of piggyback on what you said. And I've, like, as someone that runs ultra endurance events and does all these kind of things around the world, like, I'm a big fan of keto personally. Like, I'll drop in and out of ketosis, become more fat adapted because it'll support me if I'm running, you know, 100-mile ultra marathon. But for somebody that's looking to lose weight, I'm like, don't go on the most restrictive diet of all time.
I agree. Like, you know, that's why I fast. I'm in ketosis and I'm doing all of that as well, but it's not my lifestyle. I definitely have greens and I definitely have, my problem is sugar. It's not even like the breads and the pastas. So people ask me all the time, like, how do you not crave bread? A, I don't buy it. And B, I just don't. I would much rather have dark chocolate. That's just me personally. But when it comes to, yes, exactly. Like, there's a time and a place for each diet, I feel like. And then it also depends on what works for you. But the worst thing is when someone walks in and they're like, well, so-and-so went keto. So-and-so's husband went keto. So I'm going to do keto. Why on earth do you think that so-and-so's husband's going to be the exact same as you? And you're going to lose 30 pounds and then feel good. That's not like, that's just not going to happen. Also, my clients don't run ultra marathons, you know, like I'm like, no, let's kind of, you know, keep it within the limits of what you can handle. Otherwise you're literally like going to be in a closet snacking on a loaf of bread. And that's, you know, never going to be good for anybody.
I had this conversation with a guy that came. I actually don't work with ultra marathon runners either. They're just things I do myself. I work mostly with body composition or athletes because that was what I did for most of my fitness career. But I was working with one of my guys in a recent program, and I'll never forget this conversation for as long as I live. I sent him the program, the nutritional plan, everything before we got started. And he was like, oh, this isn't what I expected. And I'm like, okay, what were you expecting? He goes, I thought we'd be doing what you're doing. And I was like, okay, are you 85 kilos, which I'm not sure what that is in pounds, 200 pounds, you know, 180 pounds, 190 pounds. He was like, no, I'm, 160 pounds. I was like, okay. I was like, are you trying to lose some muscle to run a 100-mile ultra marathon in the desert, which I was training for at the time? And he goes, no, I'm trying to build some muscle and size. I'm like, okay, this is why you're not doing what I'm doing. I'm like, for that exact reason. I was like, you're 6'2", 160 pounds, looking to build muscle. I'm 5'8". 85 kilos, 180 pounds, trying to drop some size for an ultra marathon. And he's like, ah, yes. He's like, I get it now. And I'm like, yes, it's goal dependent. And that's why that you made such a great point for everybody listening to take home. Just because Sarah down the street is doing this, that, or the other, that doesn't mean that that's what's going to work for you. That's why it's so important to work with the likes of Kaylee, work with other reputable coaches and trainers who are going to make things individual for you. Don't follow the person down the street. Like, it might work for you, but you know, most of the time it tells me it won't. You mentioned chocolate there. I'm curious. I have to ask this question when someone speaks so passionately about food. What would your death row meal be?
Oh, that's such a good question. Okay, I think I would definitely have a big fat steak. I'd probably do asparagus or green beans just because I genuinely like them. And then I'd probably do mashed potatoes just because that sounds great. And then it would be a giant chocolate cake with ice cream on top.
Amazing.
I
have nothing to add to that. I'd probably switch the mashed potato for some sweet potato, and then away we go.
I mean, honestly, I could probably just do the chocolate cake and die happy, but
yeah, I get it. I'm the same. Like, sometimes I question my gender birth. I'm like, I get that when like some of my friends and my sister talk about chocolate, I'm like, I feel the same way about chocolate. I'm like, most guys and most of my lad friends are like, yeah, it's chocolate, give me a beer. I'm like, no, chocolate cake, I'm all over that. Like, you know, don't have sweet teeth. But I digress. I had to ask that question because of your passionate tone when you were speaking about food. To double back on working with clients, I'm curious, why do you think people find it so difficult to get started, or have you found that it's more difficult for people to sustain it or stay on track? Firstly, do you find it's harder for people to start, or is it harder to stick to a plan, and then kind of expand on whichever you found the most?
That's a good question. I feel like it kind of depends on the person's personality, because I have a lot of clients that are very anal. So once they get started, they will follow through, you know, wholeheartedly. And then I have a lot of clients that will do the, you know, kind of ball to the wall right away. And I find that that is what is the hardest to make people sustain, is they immediately are like, okay, I'm going to work out 6 days a week. I'm going to have no sugar and no alcohol and no carbs for, you know, ever. And then that's their like goal. And that is so unattainable if you haven't, you know, if you don't have that already. And I think that that's really what makes the hardest to stick to. I think, and that's when I tell my clients, I'm like, okay, let's start, you know, when they're like, I want, you know, 20 sessions a month or, you know, 30 sessions a month. I'm like, all right, like, what's our activity level now? What are your habits right now? Okay, well, I haven't worked out in 2 years and I can't put down the bag of potato chips. Okay. So let's start with, you know, you seeing me, we're going to lift weights, we're going to do some cardio, you know, 2 to 3 times a week. And then outside of me, I want you to, you know, go walking, go take a class, go take a dance class, go swimming, and kind of integrate all of that into your life. So it's easier, it's more attainable. It's, you know, 3 days a week of 30 minutes of working out. And then, you know, maybe you see me twice or 3 times a week. Okay, let's start with, yeah, cutting out the processed sugar. Or if your vice is, you know, the bag of chips. Okay, let's do one bag of chips a week. And they're always like, you're going to let me have a bag of chips? Well, yeah, because we're cutting down from 5 to 1. Like, let's look at perspective here. And then we slowly get into where you don't need that one bag of chips. You can have it, you know, once a month, or, and, you know, maybe never again. Maybe it's, you know, less than that. Or we flip the snack and it's not, you know, actually chips, it's baked zucchini, or, you know, whatever it is, and just kind of work with what works for you. I find that that's usually the easiest approach. And find stuff you like to do. If you're at home and you don't have means for a trainer or to take all these super fancy classes, go, you know, ride a bike, or go take a dance class, or go take a swimming class, or, you know, anything that you really enjoy doing, go do it. Go walk around the park and, you know, look at flowers, or go on a hike. Whatever it is that you enjoy, you'll stick to. But a lot of people are like, okay, I got the Peloton bike and I'm going to do it. But they genuinely hate riding a bike. Well, then why'd you buy the thing? Because you're never going to get on it. Like, that's not going to work for you. It may work for some people, but it, you know, it doesn't for others. So find what you enjoy and you like to do. That's why, like, now I've kind of switched into, you know, combining the dance element with the fitness element. I went super hardcore with the fitness, and I didn't fall out of love with it, but I got a little like, okay, how can I make this a bit different? How can I change it up and make it more fun for me, more fun for others? So, you know, I've kind of combined the two and added some more plyo stuff, and, you know, just constantly switching it up, I think, is also what keeps it fresh. Anything we do, you know, over and over and over again, you kind of get bored of, and your body gets used to it.
You mentioned something else there I want to pull out, just because I made a note as soon as you said it. One, obviously, take home message is do something you enjoy, because that's always going to have such a massive sustainability factor for people. But you also mentioned the Peloton bike there. And one of the best pieces of advice I think I've ever got when it came or comes to, should I buy a treadmill? Should I get a TRX? Should I do this, that, or the other? Should I get a Peloton bike? And I remember getting a piece of advice once that I passed on definitely 100 times since, and, you know, to thousands of people now because of the podcast. Mm-hmm. But that was to spend, if you think you need to get a treadmill, for example, this is my example, because when I was training for, in 2018, I ran a marathon to Saab, which is 6 back-to-back marathons in the Sahara. And because of the schedule, I needed to do some of my runs at home, and I was going to buy like a really expensive treadmill. I was like, I'm going to get one that's just like the gym. You know, they're expensive. Treadmills run mm-hmm. upwards of, yeah. you know, several thousand euros, in several thousand dollars if you're in the US. And I remember a friend told me, he goes, buy a cheap treadmill. I'm like, why would I buy a cheap treadmill? He was like, well, if you buy a cheap treadmill and you use it and it breaks down, he goes, it broke down because you were using it. So you proved you're going to use it. And he goes, if you buy an expensive treadmill, and he goes, and then you don't use it and it's just an expensive clothes rack, he goes, at least then, you know, you haven't dropped $5,000 or $6,000 on the treadmill. So I went out and I got like a $450 treadmill. And well, to be honest, I didn't use it that much. It became a glorified clothes hanger apart from a couple of mornings. But I remember thinking that was great advice. And like every time somebody asked me about Peloton bikes or TRX or a treadmill, they're like, you know, should I buy a treadmill? Should I buy a Peloton bike? I'm like, buy a cheap one. I'm like, and if it breaks down, then go out and spend money on an expensive one, because you've proved that you'll use it, and exactly. you know, and you're not going to be out. And the worst case scenario, it sits as an expensive clothes hanger like my treadmill did. And right. you know, and I just wanted to share that because you said the Peloton bike and it jumped straight to mind. And I've never mentioned it on that podcast, so that's a little bit of a take home advice for me. Something else I want to touch on, because you mentioned the sustainability factor, obviously, of training and doing something you love. What's your advice to clients or to people when they kind of fall off the wagon? And especially, and I'm not sure if this is the same with your clients, but this is what I found with a lot of people I've worked with over the years. It tends to be the weekend, where people are good Monday to Friday and then can fall off the wagon on a Saturday, Sunday, or even a Friday night. What's your thoughts or advice to people who fall off the wagon, either at a weekend or during the week, and how they can get back on track?
I think that, because it's very true, I feel like we're like, oh, I work super hard. Or I've had a client before too that, you know, we got on the scale and she was like, oh my God, I'm so much, I weigh so much less than I thought I was going to. Like, I can't believe, you know, we've lost 15 pounds already. And she almost in turn, like that night, started eating more and reached out to me the next day and was like, I had such a bad night. So I think it's having someone that's going to hold you accountable. She could text me and say, girl, I completely lost control last night. I don't even know why. It was almost self-sabotage. So having someone that's like, all right, get your shit together. It's, you know, it's Saturday or it's Monday and you're going to go for a walk because, you know, you clearly have not, we got to get your mind back on track. But I also think too, it's the balance. Like I always tell my clients to live that 80-20 rule when it comes to exercise and nutrition. If you're going, you know, crazy in your exercise and you literally can't get up the next day, then that's, you know, I don't know if that was really beneficial to you. And if you're also going so clean that you feel like you have to indulge on all these, you know, things that are your weakness on the weekend to the point where you're, you know, overeating and feel guilty for the next week, then, you know, that wasn't beneficial either. So we need to find that 80-20 rule where 80% of your lifestyle is healthy, it's on your game, it's feeling the best you, and then 20% of the time you can have, you know, French fries or in our case chocolate or, you know, a glass of wine at night or whatever it is that, you know, kind of brings you back as your, I guess, quote unquote junk, you know, take that into consideration. And I also say too, like, don't completely, you know, lose yourself. Like I still, when I have my cheats, it's in moderation, if that makes sense. Like I won't buy a, you know, the family size, you know, chocolate bar or bag of whatever. I get, you know, the smaller portion and I'm like, okay, this half I'm setting you aside for Saturday and this side I'm setting you a half for Sunday and kind of, you know, ration it out in that way versus literally just eating it all Friday and then feeling like crap for the next, you know, week about it. So it's just kind of finding that balance. I think I heard something you said too on one of your other podcasts, kind of rewarding yourself. I think you said you were talking about running or doing something that you don't like to do.
And anchor it with something that you enjoy. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So if it's like, you know, okay, I worked out today or I worked out all five days this week. So I am going to allow myself, you know, this cheat tonight because I deserve it. Almost, and I kind of put it back in my terms. It's like celebrate your wins, but celebrate them in, you know, a good way. It's not good to, you know, gorge on all this food or, you know, get completely lazy and, you know, quote unquote, fall off the wagon. You have to kind of keep that balance and having, like I said, I think having someone that you can be honest and open with about and in turn, I can be honest and open with you. Like, all right, that was not your best, but let's get up and we're going to, you know, get up and do this and get up and go Monday or, you know, whatever it is that helps you get back on. I think it's really just as corny as that sounds, just balance and whatever works for you.
Yeah, it's funny that you say whatever works for you because about when you mentioned buying the chocolate to have Saturday and a little bit on Sunday, I literally can't do that. I'm like, I have to buy what I'm going to eat. I'm like, if it's not holding and staying in the cupboard until Sunday, so I literally just buy what I'm going to eat on Saturday. I'm like, if I buy the 7-pack Mars bar, I'm going to eat all 7. So I just buy the one and then I go into the shop on a Sunday and I buy another bar. Self-awareness. Yeah, it's self-awareness Some people are better with moderation. Some people, like myself, not so much. So it's just systems over willpower. And one of the things that I generally get my clients to do is like just reset. I'm like, if you fall off track and you fall off, you know, like Kaylee said, 80-20 is a great approach. You know, celebrate the little wins, you know, don't gorge, you know, eat the food, use the self-awareness on what works best for you. You know, do you space it out over several days? Do you just go to the shop and buy the small bars? But if you fall off track, just reset and go again. You know, I've said it on this podcast several times, falling off track on a Friday evening and eating food off plan and then letting Saturday and Sunday go by the wayside is like getting, you know, a flat tire and then slashing your other three tires on your car because one went flat. It's like, you wouldn't do that. So don't do it with your diet. Kaylee, another thing you mentioned there was self-sabotage. I'm curious, as someone that I think I was the king of self-sabotage. I have a whole section, a whole chapter on it in one of my books. Is that something you struggled with yourself?
Yes, I have definitely done that in the past. And it was because I did that whole all in right out the gate. I'm going to not drink this and not do that. And not, you know, of course, like I said, my thing is sugar. I was like, I'm not going to eat any kind of sugar. I cut out fruit, even anything that had an ounce of sugar. And I was like, I'm not. And I ended up eating a whole entire tub of cookie dough over the weekend. So I had that completely wanted. The wagon was off. It was in a ditch. All the wheels were off. It was completely falling apart. That was me. I couldn't handle it. So it was almost like I've done so good. I don't even know what the mindset is in self-sabotage. I know I've done it, and I know that it can be such a struggle. It's like almost something comes over you. I had like an out of body experience. It was just the weirdest thing. So that's why I really preach that 80-20, because you will, you know, you can fall off, and we do. There's ebbs and flows in life, just like there is in our fitness journeys. So don't beat yourself up. Just know that, okay, I'm going to get back. And some people too, like if they have, you know, a vacation, or they, you know, have like a long stint of time where they don't get back into it. It's also, I think, about the positive mindset getting back in versus being like, oh my God, I have to go back to eating healthy. Like, this is my last bag of chips, so I'm going to eat it over an hour. And just really, you know, like there's such a negative mindset about it. It's like, no, okay, I get to move again. I get to get back into the gym. I get to be healthy. I get to be, you know, happier and release all this stress that's been in my body for the last 3 weeks of not working out. If you think of it that way and you flip that mindset, then it's not going to seem so hard to get back into it.
That's such an interesting perspective. I've experienced that same thing with self-sabotage. Like somebody else is taking control of your body. Like the analogy I always use is like, do you know when you're watching a movie and you fall asleep during the movie and you wake up at the end and you're like, well, what just happened? Like that's how like a food binge can feel sometimes. You're like, I was eating chicken and broccoli several hours ago and now all the cookie dough is gone.
Right.
Like it's just, but it reminds me there as someone that's experienced that exact feeling, like it's very much arming yourself on the front end, which is the take home message I get for that I think is valuable for people. Like, you know, if you're going to war, don't go to war with a knife, you know, don't go to a gunfight with a knife. Like it's arm yourself with everything you need on the front end. And it reminded me of another conversation I had in actually the same program as the client I mentioned earlier about one of my girls. So I run semi-scale programs, 50 people in a program, and I coach them over the 6 week period based on my schedule. And I had one of the girls, and she literally put up on the Friday before we started, clearing the house of all the chocolate and biscuits and wine over the weekend, ready to start on Monday. And I just wrote in the comment underneath, you know, because everybody could see it. I was like, where's all the biscuits and wine going next week? She was like, oh, they'll be out of the house. I'm like, but they'll still be in the shop. She's like, oh yeah, but I won't buy them. I'm like, they're not going anywhere. I'm like, it's about changing your relationship with those foods. I'm like, she was like, yeah, but I'm not going to eat any of these foods over the next 6 weeks. I was like, I didn't say that. I was like, I didn't say you couldn't have them over the next 6 weeks. She was like, oh, I assumed. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, if we need to include biscuits, we'll include biscuits or cookies or whatever it is. Like, it's always a case of finding what works best for you. And if that's the strategy that is going to stop you self-sabotaging on a journey because of the all or nothing mentality, something that both me and Kaylee have clearly done. And I know a lot of people listening will connect with that as well. It's just set yourself up on the front end. Kaylee, the last thing I want to ask you, and again, a massive thank you. This has been an awesome conversation. I've loved it. But what are you most excited about right now? What's going on in your life that you are riled up about or that you are most excited about?
I'm most excited about, I'm starting dance fitness boot camps in LA. So I'm extremely excited about that. I'm going to do them once a month. It's kind of a HIIT style workout because those are my favorite forms of cardio. So we'll be dancing to fun songs, you know, doing functional movement for people. So it's not so much about the choreography and about getting all the steps in. It's about, you know, grooving when we can and then doing squat jumps when we can, or, you know, burpees when we can, and, you know, kind of incorporating the HIIT functional side of fitness that I love to do with my clients, but more on a larger scale. So I'm really excited about that. And then I want to in turn make that into an online program for everyone to be doing at home. And, you know, hopefully maybe even doing, you know, live boot camps and stuff like that. So just kind of broadening my reach is really what I'm trying to do now. Just kind of letting everyone know it's not so hard. I know, I feel like we put this healthy lifestyle and, you know, super fit on like this pedestal. And it's not about that. It's about doing what you enjoy, staying consistent and being positive about it. Cause that's what's going to create that lifestyle and have longevity over time. So I just really want to, you know, get that message out there and let everyone know that it is possible to, you know, live your dream life and live inside your dream body and have, you know, all the things you want.
I love it. Yeah. Your positive message and the way I've loved this conversation. If you get those online programs up and running as off the back of the boot camp, be sure to let me know and we will definitely do a round two and get that out there for everybody. Yeah. Kaylee, the last thing, it was the last question, but the last thing for everybody listening, and I will link these all up on the show notes on briankeenfitness.com and in the description, wherever everyone is listening to podcasts, Spotify, Instagram, Stitcher, etc. Where's the best place for people to reach out with you, connect with you or follow you online?
I'm mainly on Instagram @Kaylee_Hatfield. And then also check out my website, KayleeHatfield.com, for all of my online workouts. And then if you're in LA, come work out with me, get our boot camps on. And yeah, just follow me on all the things.
Love it. And as I mentioned, everybody, I will have that linked in the description. Go follow Kaylee, go check out the website. And as she said, if you're in the LA region or anywhere around there, be sure to check out her boot camps. Kaylee, thank you so much again.
Thank you so much. I had so much fun.
There you go. That is the awesome Kaylee Hatfield. I really enjoyed this conversation. I absolutely loved some of the topics we covered today and getting a female perspective and just a different perspective from some of the ways of thinking that I've had and reinforce some of my own beliefs on positive affirmations, which I'm very grateful for. I love these conversations. So as always, if you enjoyed it, be sure to take a screenshot and tag me and Kaylee_Hatfield on Instagram, Brian_Keen_Fitness on Instagram. Let us know what you thought and catch you all next week.